This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Always love catching up with the Kevin Lytle. Kevin probably thought we were ignoring him. Kevin, we just got preempted by the Rockies the last two Thursdays, man. You know we love you. We love talking Colorado State with you, but you know we got to step aside for that 20-plus win Rockies team once in a while.
Hey, I saw that they're not last in the division. Is that true?
That's pretty good, right? Pretty moving up.
Big deal. There's a trophy for that, I think.
I think there should be. And you know what, Kevin? Six more wins, and I get to shave this whatever you call it that's hanging around my face for a while. So
Tribble.
Yeah, it's getting rough, man.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to see that in person, so that's good.
I think it's good, and it's only getting worse. Could be tough to get a couple of wins here in the next couple of weeks too. So we'll see. Kevin Lytle joining us. Man, have you been watching a lot of the hearing stuff with Congress? The Save College Sports. I mean, my goodness, Kevin, watching that just reminds me how much of a mess we are really in when we're talking about the NCAA.
Yeah, you know, like I say, every time I hop on here. Gosh, it's great to have law and government talk with our college sports. Just absolutely love it. Yeah, it's crazy. This whatever Save College Sports Act or whatever it's called, it's interesting. I think there's some pretty good elements. I think there's some pretty significant roadblocks, I guess, to getting through, which I guess we're kind of seeing in those hearings. The problem, like I've kind of said repeatedly, is everyone is self-serving in their interests. So, you know, everyone sits there and shouts, we want rules. And then when the rules get put in, certain people say, well, these rules hurt us. Well, you know, why on earth? Why do we want these? They hurt us. So we're going to change them or cheat or whatever. So it's just really, really hard. I mean, the NCAA in a lot of ways takes, rightfully takes a lot of heat for, you know, letting this get out of hand. But on the other hand, I think we're seeing how they were hamstrung because just no one wants to work together. They just want to work for themselves.
And you see that case in point with the SEC and the Big Ten. Obviously, they were good with this college sports commission, whatever it is. They were good with it until it started impacting them. And now they're kind of like, wait a second. No. Oh, and you want to pull our like media rights? You want to do some kind of group effort amongst FBS and not let us organize our own media deals? Kevin, how likely is it in your mind that the SEC and the Big Ten just break away?
I go back and forth on this. I mean, I've for a really, really long time thought that the top was going to kind of break away. And, you know, I think you can probably rightfully say the top is broadly the SEC and the Big Ten, obviously not all of them, but broadly. But on the other hand, I think they need everyone else. And I think we're seeing some of that in the pushback right now. It's like, okay, yeah, you obviously have some dominant teams in there, but without us, it doesn't work. And I think, you know, I don't know where fan sentiment will come into play, but backlash can certainly have an impact on this. I think probably... I'm hedging here. I think probably they'll stay kind of with the group, but the group might still end up being kind of the P4 or some version of it breaks away.
Yeah, it's all kind of crazy. And one of the things that stood out to me, we were talking about this earlier, Kevin, was that Notre Dame's athletic director, Pete Bevakwa, I feel like, and I listen, he said a lot of really interesting things. He said a lot of good things, too. But I also look at him and say, wait, wouldn't he be the worst athletic director to actually feature? Because if there's an example of not following the rules, doesn't it start with Notre Dame?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're one, like you say, he can make some good points, I think did, but it's all taken with a grain of salt because of what they do. I mean, just look at last year when they were left out of the playoffs and they threw a hissy fit that the ACC kind of, you know, mocked them or didn't support right. them in their bids. Like, well, you're not in the ACC. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this yep. is insane. So, yeah, again, I think with them, yeah, I think he made some good points, but gosh. Man, let's pick some better messengers. Holy cow.
Well, yeah, and it's like, hey, maybe before you start talking, you should join a conference, you know, not be independent. Yeah. So I just thought it was interesting from him.
Very pot calling the kettle black.
100%. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And Kevin, you noted Bill Conley's projections for the Pac-12. We could actually talk football, even though we know weird stuff is looming. Bill Conley, not high on the Colorado State Rams. You and I all always kind of joke, you know, in June when people are like, here's my predictions for the Rams, for the Buffs, whatever. Especially now in 2026, it's so hard to do that. However, Bill Conley put out some really good stuff, really good evidence as to why he believes certain teams are going to be where they are. He has Colorado State pretty much near, I think, at the bottom of the barrel in the Pac-12. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think Conley does some really good stuff. I think he does a good job of taking kind of some metrics and blending them with, eyeball analysis, if you will. The tricky thing, I guess, is that that SP Plus and all the various ESPN formulas are built on returning production, which CSU basically doesn't have. Now, I would make a pretty strong argument that you don't really want returning production from a 2-10 team. You want better players. But based on that, you can understand why it's low. And to be very frank, if you look at the rest of the Pac-12, I don't think CSU's going to finish last. But I don't think it's an absurd argument to make either, because then Conley noted this too, that it's pretty bunched up, and he has every Pac-12 team in his top 100, and really, you know, Boise State was top, but really second through the bottom were all pretty jumbled together. So I think there's this is how I view it on the eye test, and his metrics suggest as well that it's a very kind of coin flip league of you look at almost every game and you can pretty easily argue both ways. So I both understand, you know, how he would have CSU where he had them, and also slightly disagree with that's where they'll finish. And he even noted in there too of, hey, coaches have had to bring a bunch of guys with you and be better than projected formula work before. So if Mora does that, you know, CSU can overperform these metrics. And I think we're going to see some of that.
Yeah, well, and you know, the thing I'm curious about with CSU before I start even thinking about what that season's going to look like, Kevin, you know what? First things first, I'd love to know who officially is going to be the quarterback. And I know we'll get to that at some point, but hearing more and more about Haas Haney, there's been several different podcasters discussing, you know, what his career was like at TCU, how at Oklahoma State he was probably picked to be the guy, but he got hurt. And so I think a lot of people are high on him, but we don't necessarily even know if he's going to be the starting quarterback for CSU.
Yeah, totally. I mean, a guy with big potential. But again, when a lot of these formulas, like I said, are built on production, and he basically played one quarter at Oklahoma State. So you can see why, a formula wouldn't have a big boost from Haas Haney. And like you say, we don't even know for sure that he's the guy. And if it's Kasan Farrar, he also hasn't played much. So that's why some of these kind of metrics-based projections just aren't going to be very good for CSU, because in some key positions, most notably quarterback, they're going to lean on someone, whoever it is, that hasn't played much. But that also doesn't mean they won't be good.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And how does all this stuff, and again, we'll get more into the X's and O's, what to expect from this team, but how does all this stuff in the big picture, how does it make John Weber feel? How does it make Colorado State feel when they're watching, they're paying attention to this, and they're talking about all these big changes and a potential breakaway and all that. What does this do to the minds of the higher ups at Colorado State?
Honestly, I think something like the Save College Sports Act or whatever the heck it's called would encourage CSU, because it's basically tried to balance power back out a bit. That's a super broad definition for what this act is trying to do, but that is definitely part of it. And so if you are a CSU that is joining a conference that was a Power 5 that is kind of fighting for its status, And there's an act potentially going that could help rebalance and spread power back out. That would put the PAC in a good place to be. So I think if you're a CSU and the other teams, you know, programs moving, you have to be encouraged by some of this. Again, that doesn't mean every bit of that act, you know, CSU's sitting there going, yeah, rah, rah, it's perfect. But I think the broad idea of let's prevent these super leagues, if you're a CSU, a Boise State, a San Diego State, you really like that idea. So I think broadly, they've got to be encouraged by some of it.
There's a lot of talk about the salary cap, the number. We know it's at 20.5. There's a lot of argument for increasing that. And I have a lot of questions with that. We want to increase it, so we're trying to basically kind of move away from third party. I don't know if that 100% moves away from NIL. I don't know how you can do that. But in terms of all of that, how competitive is Colorado State when it comes to that number or even increasing that number, maybe just compared to the rest of the Pac-12?
Yeah, I think in football, they're quite competitive. I don't know exactly where, but I think in the upper tier, because they've, you know, again, Jim Mora wasn't going to leave a UConn program he had going pretty decently, despite, you know, yeah, they're independent, all the issues that come with that, but they were going pretty well. He wouldn't leave that for a program that's not going to invest. I've heard a lot of different numbers, but I think the issue is in a pretty competitive sphere there in football-wise. Men's basketball, it's probably more middle to middle bottom of the league, you know, sixth or so. They're, you know, they obviously this year leaned heavily on retention, which is not cheap either, but they're I guess different levels of how you spend, and they leaned heavily into retention. I would say CSU is fairly competitive, but lots of room to grow from the, you know, kind of paying roster payment standpoint.
I thought, speaking of Colorado State basketball, I found it fascinating. I'm very excited that most of the guys are coming back, but they've been releasing their message, the players' messages, like why I chose to come back now. And it's like, boys, if that's not 2026, I don't know what is. It's basically just to announce that you're staying.
Yeah, it is so funny that it's now almost as big, if maybe as big a news when a guy returns as if they transfer, you know, when the in the earlier days of the transfer portal, it was, you know, kind of just news if someone left. Now it's news when guys stay. I mean, you know, I write stories when guys, you know, basically sign their deal to stay.
Yep.
That, you know, if you told 5 years ago reporter Kevin that he was going to be writing, you know, a news story that someone stayed that had eligibility left, I'd be saying, what an idiot. Why are you doing that? But that's where the world is right now.
Well, and I'm guilty of the same thing. That's the first question in my mind. If I'm watching a basketball game, if I'm watching a CSU basketball game and a guy starts lighting it up, my very first question is, can they keep that guy? You know, as he grows in his career, can you keep that guy? Can you hang on to him? Just like when we watch the pros, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the world. And it's for the coaches, too. Ali Farokmanesh has said publicly that they started having those conversations in, like, February, March, you know, early March with guys about, you know, potentially returning. And that's why their season's ongoing. It's a weird, awkward way, you know, thing to have to do, but it's just the reality right now.
Yeah, it's a wild time. And again, just watching yesterday just reminded me of just, in fact, how wild it is surrounding college sports. Kevin, always appreciate it, my friend. And yeah, we're getting closer, and I know we're going to be talking about Rams Weekly starting back up, and we can get a full-on preview of all things Colorado State football. Take a look at that roster. We'll get deeper into it. But we won't bug you with that, you know, in June, Kevin. We'll at least wait until July.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. It's going to be fun. It's going to get here fast. There's a lot going on this summer with the official PAC move and everything else.
Yeah, no question. It might be a scary time, but it's certainly an exciting time. Kevin, we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Yeah, I'll admit, it's hard to look at projections and everything right now because of what's going on in college. But, Michael, in, you know, a month or so, We will start pushing our brains into full-on football mode, and we can actually start breaking down rosters.
I need to solve this thing.
You're not going to.
Look, I have some ideas, and
you put a lot of work into your conference realignment thing, Mike, but it's not...
That's one portion of it.
That's not going to work.
I'm also working on transparency, and representatives.
I know,
for each
and you
group.
Were doing that off the air. You got to talk to more people. Talk to more people, Mike. They're talking to people. They've been talking to people. Everybody's been talking to people, and nothing changes. Nothing changes.
They're talking to a couple of people. They're not talking to everybody.
Teresa Gould is as much involved with this as Nick Saban. She was there yesterday, and she represents a good chunk of the teams that we're talking about that might be left in the middle of all of this. So 50 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day coming up. Chris McFarland, we know he's gone. He went to Nashville. Just what exactly went into that, and where do the Avalanche go from here? We'll get into all that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310. KFKA.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.